Thank you for that. Okay, so now it's recording. So everybody, thank you for joining us for our Development and Stakeholder Committee meeting. It is Thursday, December 9th. So Ms. Covarrubias, would you like to go ahead and call the meeting to order?
Am I the chair? Because I thought Dr. Yapanol was. I don't mind. I'm just wondering. I don't want to take over his part.
I believe you are the chair, Ms. Covarrubias.
Oh, okay. Yes, I would like to start our meeting, please.
Perfect. It is 5:02. So we'll go ahead and start this meeting. So we'll move on to our agenda here. So I'll go ahead and record attendance and guests. So Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Dr. Yapanol?
Here.
Okay. Both of our committee members are here. So we'll move on to item 1C, the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Thank you, Dr. Yapanol. I'll go ahead and take votes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Okay, the agenda has been approved as presented. So we'll move on to the next items with it, which is 1D, public comments. So as a reminder, if you'd like to have a public comment, you don't have to state your name, but if you'd like to, you're more than welcome to. You'll be given 3 minutes for your public comment. And if you need translation, you'll be given 6 minutes. So if you'd like to make a comment, right now would be the time to go ahead and unmute yourselves. Okay, since there are no public comments, we'll move on to our next item, which is 1E, announcements from CEO and superintendent and committee members. Alfredo?
Thank you, Talia, and good evening to everyone. Sandra, Dr. Yapanol, Magnolia staff, and community. Thank you for being here. I don't have any updates. I know we have quite a bit of meetings, so I look forward to engaging in the different topics and also being able to address any questions. Back to you, Talia.
Okay, thank you, Alfredo. Are there any comments from our committee members? Okay, since there are no comments from our committee members, we'll move on to the next item, which is 1F, approve the minutes from the Special Development and Stakeholder Committee meeting for September 9th, 2021. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
I make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanol. I'll go ahead and take votes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Thank you. The minutes from the Development and Stakeholder Committee meeting for September 9th, 2021 have been approved as presented. So now we'll move on to our section 2, recommended action items. We have 2 items. So we'll start with 2A, committee approval of findings to conduct virtual meetings pursuant to AB 361 and Government Code Action 54953, which will be presented by Alfredo Rubalcaba, our CEO and superintendent.
Thanks again, Talia, and welcome everyone again. So AB 361, our board is very familiar with AB 361 as well as staff. It does grant us the flexibility to conduct virtual meetings, which we've been doing now for a couple of months. And of course, with that, there are specific conditions that need to be met in order for us to continue doing virtual meetings. But everything is to continue doing things in a manner that keeps us safe, as opposed to meeting in person, which is still a little risky due to all the different variants and other things that happen in the health and safety world. Although our schools have been doing a great job managing that, we're trying to mitigate how many of these meetings we've had. So AB 361 allows us this flexibility. I'll turn it over to Jen, my second hand here, to give some more technical aspects explanations of AB 361. Jen?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. Good evening, committee members, members of the community. For AB 361, I know you heard it many, many times already, but just a refresher, this does allow us to continue the flexibilities that is granted to us under this law for teleconferencing purposes for our board meetings. The main difference or the biggest component for AB 361 as said also by our legal counsel, Young Mini in court, is that our committees and board would need to revisit this item by or before 30 days to assess the state of emergency for us to continue these flexibilities granted to us. And that is it on my end. Talia, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Jen and Alfredo. So I'll open it for public comment. So if there's anybody who would like to make a comment on this specific item, right now will be the time to do so. As a reminder, you'll be given 3 minutes, and if translation is needed, you'll have 6 minutes. If there are any comments, go ahead and unmute yourself now. Okay, since there are no public comments, we'll move on to our committee members. Committee members, do you have any questions or comments for this item?
No, pretty standard.
Okay, since there are no comments or questions for this item, I'll go ahead and do I have a motion for the approval of this item?
So moved, your panel.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanol. Do I have a second?
I'll second it, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms.
Talia, for minutes purposes, if you can just read off the motion.
Yes. So the motion for this item is for the Development and Stakeholder Committee to adopt the findings relating to the ability of the Magnolia Public Schools Development and Stakeholder Committee to conduct meetings due to teleconference during the state of emergency in reference to AB 361 and Government Code Section 54953. So the motion has passed for this item. So now we'll move on to item 2B, which is the approval of recruitment and retention plan, which will be presented by Daria Hashmirza, with the Director of Human Resources.
Thank you, Talia.
Talia, I'm sorry, but Dr. Yapanol just moved it. Did you vote for this item?
Yes, we need to vote actually, Talia. I was going to say the same thing.
You need to actually take Dr. Yapanol's moving and start forwarding.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. So I'll go ahead and take.
Wait. This is Alfredo. To be clear, we couldn't hear Dr. Yapanol. So Dr. Yapanol, you're going to have to. I heard you say something, but I didn't hear clearly. Was that everyone else? Did you guys hear him clearly?
Yes, I would like to move the motion to approve.
Oh, okay. Yes, we didn't hear that, Dr. Yapanol.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Yap. And also for item 2A, committee approval of findings to conduct virtual meetings pursuant to AB 361 and Government Code Section 54953 was made a motion by Dr. Yap and second by Ms. Covarrubias. So I'll go ahead and take votes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Dr. Yap?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So the item 2A was approved by the committee. So now we'll go ahead and go back to item 2B, which is Daria Hashmirza for the MPS recruitment and retention plan.
Thank you. Thank you, Talia. Good evening, MPS board committee members, MPS family and community. As presented, I'm asking the Development and Stakeholder Committee to recommend the approval of the MPS Recruitment and Retention Plan to the MPS Board of Directors. This plan will serve as the blueprint for recruiting, hiring, and retaining highly qualified staff members that contribute to MPS's mission and vision. As outlined in the plan, MPS will use different strategies to recruit and retain staff. So as outlined in the attached document that was presented to you, some of the recruitment strategies that we will use is different methods, the recruitment methods, and under that recruitment methods, we'll use talent pool, which keeping a group of candidates in the hiring platform that we use in the HIRS system, which we are able to archive the submitted resumes, and then that will allow the hiring managers to revisit that talent pool when needed. Another recruitment method is the passive candidate strategy, is that which refers to sending mass emails to individuals who may or may not be currently looking for a job. And then this-
Daria, this is Alfredo, sorry. Can Talia, can you scan through, can you go to those pages as Daria is talking about? I know there's quite a bit of information. Yes.
And thank
there's
you.
Quite a bit
thank
of you. Visual learners, including myself. So yes, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. So the recruitment method is the passive candidate strategy, which sending mass emails to individuals who may not or may not be looking for a job. This will help MPS be visible and introduce the potential future candidates. And then this, we will use different platforms, schools newsletters to various stakeholders, LinkedIn posts and other social media platforms. And another method is the career job fairs. We're continuously seeking career opportunities. We participate in different careers, which are usually focused on educational recruitment events, and this is mostly done through university partnerships, and which we are notified as the MPS HR department every year. And another method is the open houses, regional open houses hosted by the MPS HR department at the school sites or the home office to the prospective candidates. And our MPS website, that's another method, which is all our postings are linked to, our website is linked to our HIRS system that we use, which all the postings are reflected on our website. And which another feature of this is we do have a notification system on our career page where any stakeholder, anyone can sign up to be notified of open positions that we have. And another method is a recruitment platform, which we use currently different career opportunities, such as Indeed, LinkedIn, AdJoin, and et cetera, as we are also always we're seeking for more opportunities. We're looking for different platforms to post our openings. Another strategy that we use is advertising our MPS benefits, to promote what MPS offers, promoting our health, dental, and vision program. And then we have additional life insurance. We do promote our tuition reimbursement for new teachers or anyone who wants to pursue further education. If they want to clear their credential, we do have induction program, which we support. We offer performance pay to all our eligible employees. And we have one-time and annual add-on pay on top of our base pay. This is also something that we promote. We do have sign-in bonus. We have retirement plans for our classified, certificated, and home office employees, and of course, generous paid time off. And another recruitment strategy that we have is networking, as we're always looking for ways to see what others are doing, connecting with other HR professionals and see what their best practices are. And then also always looking into a partnership with universities for our student teaching or internship program opportunities, and which they can lead up to becoming an MPS talent pool. Another partnership we are currently working with is Marshall Street Teacher Residency Program, which we are sponsoring candidates with who has bachelor's degree to earn their teaching credential. And this is an accelerated program, which we are currently in the process of launching this program for our current employees who are interested in the teaching, going into teaching. Another method is a recruitment strategy is staffing vendor collaboration, which means we're currently working with temporary staffing agencies. And then through their partnership, we have the ability to onboard them into a permanent position when we do have the job opening. And another strategy is international staff recruitment, especially for with the critical teaching shortage we have, especially in the STEM area. We're always looking for ways, and international recruitment would be also one of the strategies that we're looking forward to utilize. And moving on to the planning under the recruitment is always look for check on progress, and then looking for ways to improve our current practices. And then with that, that includes working alongside with the principals, getting their feedback, and then always look for areas of improvement. Also, some of the planning includes evaluating our current teacher, student teachers and interns, and how we can onboard them and then be part of the Magnolia family. And of course, with that, planning includes a recruitment budget, of course. And here are some of the planning as projected, starting from November. That's when we usually review our job requisitions, our job descriptions, some internal preparations, and then looking for job opportunities and planning for open house. And through January and March, attending job fairs and conducting the open houses and further preparation for recruitment. And also April and June, that's when the interview process, looking at the student teachers and substitute teachers, making them, if eligible for making them a permanent MPS team members. And under that, marketing, of course, always looking for ways for marketing, improving our packages, our recruitment and new hire package, developing testimonial videos for social media, and design marketing materials. And then moving on to retention, some of the strategies that we're looking at is employee survey, which HR department conducts survey to get feedback. And then to have 60 days, 6 months check-in online and in person, just to see how they're doing and then get their feedback and for our their experience with the onboarding and as a new hire. And also we do have annual staff feedback survey, which we review that with our principals and discuss growth opportunities. And the second retention strategy is leadership pathway program. These are for staff members, current staff members who show interest in professional growth within the organization. If they wanna become, let's say, admin, we do support them in that way. If they're teacher and want to become admin position, we give them the support. And the third strategy is academic support for newly hired teachers. This is something that we want to assist our new hires in capturing the Ordwire curriculum and inform them about all the resources that we have. Number four is individualized development plans, which let's say this can be providing them different workshops or PDs. If they wanna do classroom management, this is something that they wanna improve, or they wanna have more PDs. This is also something that we give support to our staff. And also employee intent to return form, which we review every year. And then also working with the school sites if they want to relocate or if they want to go to a different MPS school site due to different reasons. And then also another retention strategy is review of the exit interview forms, which we do have a tracking system where we have all the exit interview forms, and then which we review them with our C team members. And retention strategy is employee recognition program. Currently, we're looking into sponsorship partnerships for our veteran employees. We wanna recognize them for their services, and also employee referral program, which our current staff member recommending a candidate and goes through the entire hiring process and becomes a staff member of MPS. And of course, with that, we do have planning where we each year we go over our practices, our pros and cons, and then always look for areas of improvements. And with that, I'm open to any questions, feedback that you may have, and I'll turn it back to Dalia.
Thank you, Daria. So now I'll open it for public comment. So if there's anybody who would like to make a comment for this specific item, now would be the time to do so. As a reminder, you are more than welcome to state your name if you'd like before making your public comment, and you'll be given 3 minutes for your public comment. And if you need translation, you'll be given 6. Okay, since there are no public comments, we'll move with our committee members. Are there any comments or questions for this specific item? Okay.
I have a question. Who was involved in preparation of this document, Daria, with stakeholders?
Yes. You mean from the home office? So from the home office, we worked with our HR team, our C team members. We got the principal's feedback when preparing this document.
One thing is that we generally offer next year contracts a little bit later in the year, since due to some budget uncertainties. Is there any work to pulling it a little earlier so that we relax our employees so that they may not look for other opportunities and we can retain them? I really like the retention portion quite a bit, and I think it's really important once we invest in good staff members to keeping them with us for many years, basically.
Alfredo, will you answer this? This is Suat. I can also answer.
Go ahead, Suat.
Okay. This is Suat, I'm the Chief Operations Officer. Yes, Dr. Yapanel, as everybody is aware, the labor market is going very crazy nowadays. Yes, we actually have been planning right now to give our contracts very early this year. We're not the only ones, by the way. We also checked other institutions, other charter organizations. Looks like everybody is planning actually to give their contracts mostly around the end of February, mid-February, end of February. Some of them actually are giving end of March, but we are planning actually to make sure every staff member in our system will get their contracts end of February or beginning of March. This is very actually advanced compared to all current and previous years. We were giving our contracts like around mid-May or end of May. So we are taking it 2 months before, and we are trying to give all our contracts end of February at this point. Dr. Yapanel?
Yes, that's great. Thank you. I think this will definitely help retaining good staff members.
Yes, sir. Yes, we are aware of this, and then we are planning right now. And our winter break is going to be full of this, by the way. No winter break.
Okay, thank you so much for your efforts and your response. I don't have anything else.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanel.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanel. Ms. Covarrubias, do you have any questions or comments for this specific item?
No, I would just go ahead and if you can read the motion, please, the item.
The motion for this item is for the MPS Development and Stakeholder Board Committee to recommend the approval of the Magnolia Public Schools' recruitment and retention plan to the MPS Board of Directors. Would a committee member like to make a motion?
I'll make the motion, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Do I have a second?
Second, Yapanel.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanel. I'll go ahead and take votes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes, and I also would like to thank HR department for coming up with such a detailed plan. Yes. I think the most important thing we have in the schools are the teachers in the classrooms. The more advanced, the more skilled they are, I think it will really help us reflect our vision and mission and grow the students that we like to grow. Thank you again.
Yes, I agree with what Dr. Yapanel said. Thank you.
Thank you, committee members. Item 2B has been passed. So now we'll move on to our last item or last section, which is section 3, information and discussion items. As a reminder, this is not for a vote, so it's only informational. So we'll go ahead and start with our first item, 3A, development updates, which will be presented by our Senior Director of Development and Communications, Ismael Soto.
Thanks, Talia, and good afternoon, evening, board members, Dr. Yapanel, Ms. Covarrubias, and also community members, Magnolia staff. Good to be here with you all and on our second Development and Stakeholder Committee for the year. I'm really excited for today because I have some great updates and also some calls to action to really move this priority item forward. So, Talia, if you wouldn't mind going to the next slide. These are the items that I'm going to be discussing today in terms of my update. One is, what are general trends that I'm seeing, researching, hearing about across the sector? Also, quarter one, which is July through September, and quarter two update. This is inclusive of October, November, and December. So we're coming to the end of quarter two. And also just a quick snapshot of how we capture this information, both in our development and work folder, and so I'll be presenting just some quick snapshots of what that looks like. I'll actually be spending quite a bit of time there because I want to make sure that the committee here is very clear about where our focus areas are and where we're pivoting if need be into quarter three. Then I'm going to get into some proactive planning we're doing with the academic department for next year, 22-23. I'll subsequently follow that up with some recommendations for this committee. Again, really kind of putting the foot to the gas pedal, moving this priority level forward, which is going to be inclusive of giving expectations for our board for this year and potentially for next year. And then where to invest, like who are we competing against first? And then where to invest for next year. This is like a seed planting item. So, Dalia, if you wouldn't mind going to the next slide. Next one, please. Okay, so I'll start here. You know, one of the big questions is, will we ever return to like pre-pandemic giving levels? And, you know, although there was a really strong first quarter in 2021, things significantly slowed down. And I've been seeing that across the board. And it depends on which sector, and it'll make a little bit more sense once I get into the development year-to-date slide of how those trends changed. The other thing that I'm seen in terms of trends, and this was spotlighted by Give.org, it revealed that millennials would like to be more approached about more giving to charitable gifts. So what we're doing at Magnolia, and you'll notice this again in subsequent slides, is how are we going to leverage our alumni, for example, who very much fall within that millennial category for giving. And so we are internally having discussions about alumni events that are very philanthropically inclined for next year. And it's going to be partially aligned with what we're going to be celebrating, which is a big one for Magnolia, our 20th anniversary after the first school opened in 2002. Organizations such as CZI or the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, many of you know that is the spouse of the Facebook founder, Mr. Zuckerberg himself. But they've also begun to make major grants to expand diverse teachers, administrators, and education leaders nationwide, $9 million to that effect. Next slide. And so one of the organizations that we've actually been funded by to really help to expand the work we're doing in MSA One, they also announced $20 million for career-connected learning. Now, what does that mean? It can mean a lot of things, but part of it is really getting young people into the workforce, either right out of college or having some of that training while in high school. So there's some of that funding being allocated to education organizations for that. It could potentially line up with either like dual enrollment or even career technical education programs that we might consider for Magnolia down the line. I know we're heavily invested in dual enrollment now. CZI is also, you know, again, they're in the work of transforming education. A lot of my research has been, you know, around like their work, and they're really about the science of learning and how that works, and learning loss and how that works, and how they can more impact that work. So we're looking into organizations again like Walton's, CZI, to see if they can align with our development plan and strategy in terms of that transformative education. And then lastly, in terms of the trend, you know, we're still we can't forget that we're still in the midst of a crisis, right? A global pandemic. And so what have like local foundations, for example, how are they operating? And although some organizations like the Parsons Foundation is one of the foundations that we are very much looking to partner with, for instance, they authorized 10% increase in their payouts for 2020. However, some foundations still remain in like crisis response mode with COVID grants, more specific, and that could include whether it's you know, for vaccinations, for PPP, et cetera. So these are things that we're seeing in terms of trends. Next slide, Talia. So now I'm going to transition into our year to date. So quarters one and two, and then I'll give you guys a snapshot, you all the development of the development work folder. So next slide. So here is how we break things up. And I want to make a quick note. This is different than your board report. And this is why I mentioned at the onset of my presentation, I had some great news in terms of my update. So if you see under fiscal year 21 in orange on the left-hand side, 21-22 goal, our initial goal for the year for 21-22 is $500,000. And that was inclusive of the three revenue sources under institutions, inclusive of foundations, organizations, matching gifts, corporations, government supports and grants, again, inclusive of federal funding, which this is one that we have pivoted away from for capacity reasons, but very much focused on a lot of the work around local government and also individuals. So you'll see in put note two on the right side, that's inclusive of the support we give for MSA schools on their annual fundraiser campaign. So I know Mr. Gokhan's on the line today and they just concluded their big give, which exceeded over $15,000 to replace some old water fountains with new touchless systems. And MSA 7 also concluded their Stay Cool campaign, and that was to put a brand new shade structure over their playground. And so all inclusive, if you look at quarter two, happy to announce that we were just awarded the phase three MTSS grant in the amount of $545,000, over $500,000. So we have we haven't even concluded quarter two and we've met our goal. However, we are now aiming for our stretch goal, which is that $1 million mark in our first real year of as an OC department, really pushing and prioritizing development. So if you look at year to date, we are currently all inclusive. This is not including ESSER grant funds. This is not including like emergency connectivity funds or CalShape funding, for example, that we're applying for like our HVAC systems. That's not included in this slide. We're at $867,000. So the variance right now over our original goal is we're over by $367,000. But if we're looking at our stretch goal, we're aiming for another $130,000, and that'll get us to the $1 million mark. I'm very confident we'll get there before the end of quarter four. We have several grants that are already in the pipe and several others that we're very much planning for in the coming months after we come back from break. Next slide, please. Talia? Oh, perfect. I'm sorry. I'm looking at two screens. So this, what you were looking at earlier is a snapshot. This is what we use for like our weekly updates as an outreach and communications department, also in sharing with Alfredo and the team as a snapshot. What you're seeing here is more so a detail. This is a development work folder where it's inclusive of items such as timelines, reporting dates, terms of the grant, contact information, the purpose of the grant, et cetera. So this is, and this is something that is captured year by year and is part of the infrastructure building item that we built last year, and it's called the Grants Management Portal. So this is, I do this as a bit of an education tool for the committee here to really understand that we've built a pretty comprehensive program around development and continuing to grow and better it with the addition of Dr. Lopez on the team, obviously, and her leading this effort along with me and Talia and of course the C team. Next slide. So now I'm gonna pivot into proactive planning. So part of the, next slide, Talia. Part of the work that we do is always refining. And as I mentioned, when we discussed the development plan and strategy this past summer as a fluid document, that we would look at really refining it and really being inclusive of all departments, but more specifically the academic team. So we're working closely with Erdinch and his team to create a strategic plan for next year that's a little bit more, how can I say, laser focused in the work that they're doing, so that we, in the development work that we're doing, the advancement work, as we like to call it, that's the term it's used commonly in education, and we can use it as a framework and it removes any kind of guesswork. So right now we have our focus areas and those were utilized by or identified with several members of the C team, members of the home office. But this framework is gonna be, allow us to capture, again, that competitive edge for Magnolia, because it's gonna really hone in on every single component of academics, whether it be the student services, whether it be the EL program that's led by Katie, our director of EL programs, or Tracy, our director of math programs. It's going to be very honed in, and we'll be able to pull from that and to include in next year's development plan. So this is very much a collaborative effort across Magnolia, but now we're getting a little bit more refined for next year in our work. So next slide. So then I get into recommendations for this committee. At the onset and the creation of this committee, we really were, again, hitting the gas and looking at prioritizing these efforts. So the two items I'm going to cover here are giving expectations from the board, but also some performance goals and expectations there as well. Next slide. And here's where it's key. If we really want to cultivate a culture of giving, and we really want to attract wealthy supporters, we really have to focus, and a good place to start is our board. And this development and stakeholder committee was the first major step in doing that. Now we've got to move it on to like second gear, right? And so Talia, if you can go to the next slide. Here are the two big performance goals. One of them is for, to ensure that every board member makes a personal restricted, which restricted is if they have a specific goal, say, I wanna support the big gift campaign at MSA San Diego, that's restricted. Or unrestricted can be, this would be for general operating, or it can be for anything you all want to improve the impact of our schools. So restricted or unrestricted, by the end of this academic school year, June 30th. The second performance goal is to ensure, and this was again part of our discussions as we created this committee, was ensure that each board member introduces Magnolia to three or more prospective donors and or partners before the end of the year. Why that's important, nobody wants to give to an organization that they don't know. So oftentimes some of our donors were previous partners. And so in cultivating those relationships, which is the number one key to all development work, we want to establish those partners that are organic to Magnolia that will, and through the, cultivation part of development will subsequently become donors. So that is the two big asks of not just this committee, but the board. And so what I'm really looking is, and although we launched the Give or Get last year, we really, there is no expectation really or a requirement for boards to give. And I think, for the board, it casts a very strong message across the entire organization if we can prioritize that. So those are the two big performance goals. Next slide, Tania. Objectives. We want to achieve 100% giving amongst our board members, give or get. We can get there. And I know that, if the minimum contribution right now is $500, why $500? Is that arbitrary? No, it actually isn't. Our goal at the beginning of the year, we said, was $6,000 for give or get for all of our board members. And if we can get $500 from each board member, we could hit that. We do have a running start, though. We do have, for example, most recently, our board member over in San Diego, Dr. Sadi Dikbas, just donated $2,000, and it was a matching contribution through his organization. And so we've got a good running start, and other board members have already given as well. So the idea is, if we can't give it, try and get it. And one of the ways we can do that is supporting some of our school, for example, annual campaigns. We're not done. We just closed those two for MSA 7 in San Diego, but others will open. That's one way. Others are just general operation gifts to the organization to, again, support and these initiatives that we're casting forward. Next slide. Second objective is, again, it goes back to those performance goals. Mobilizing our board, tap into your networks. So Ms. Covarrubias or Dr. Yapanal, tapping into your networks, and even acknowledging them during board meetings, and with myself or any, Dr. Lopez or Alfredo, funding us of other board members, tapping them on the shoulder, saying, I've given, give with me. This is part of who we are as an organization. We want to support the work, the great work that's happening on the ground, not just at our school sites, but also at the home office, and also providing any board members direct support. Hey, how do I give? Well, let me show you. So it's really about taking the bull by the horns, both from our end, but also with your support. Next slide. So I'm not gonna go into the last section, which is where do we invest for next year, right? And this is, again, me doing some seed planting. Who are we competing against, and where can we invest for next year? Next slide, please. So, for example, this is a snapshot of our great CMO partner, Kip SoCal. Now, sure, they're twice the number of schools, but if you look at their departments, for example, which in essence mirror what we do, when I say we, I say myself, Delia Velasquez, who is our charter renewal and communications manager, along with Dr. Lopez as our new CXO. Just our development department alone has 5 members, and that's what we're competing against. So we have to be very, very creative in our approach, because that's who we're up against, right? Inclusive of their marketing departments, inclusive of their advocacy and community engagements, they've prioritized these areas, and that's where they're seeing the results that they're seeing. In a later slide, actually in the next slide, you'll see, I'll draw a direct comparison to what I'm talking about. So Talia, if you wouldn't mind going there. So I want to draw attention to MRF. And when it says 2018, it's really 2019. That's how 990s are captured. But if you look at MRF, this is in 2019, our full revenue is listed there. But look at our total percent of total revenue for fundraising. It was only 1%. Now, as compared to, again, if I can refresh your memory to the previous slide, if you looked at KIPP SoCal, for example, of their entire revenue, 12% of that was fundraising and over $12 million. But I want to draw your attention to two rows over. If you look at that and you see where their fundraising expenses, so this is the cost of running their departments, you'll see that they've invested well over $1.5 million to be able to achieve the fundraising totals that they have. And so I think what the image that I'm trying to shape here is that we've already made that commitment, not to that level, of course, at MRF. I think if we want to be competitive with some of our other CMO partners, I want to start the conversation early and now with the community so we can start thinking about how we can then invest as soon as next year and in subsequent years to be able to maybe not rival, but be competitive, right, with other CMOs and just in general, be competitive. And that leads me to my last slide, Talia, if you don't mind. So the idea would be to, and I want to strike the last line because we've actually exceeded that total now. Again, we're well over $800,000 raised as of today. But we've showed positive momentum and movement across all our philanthropic efforts since we began this work in July of 2020. Under my leadership, along with Alfredo and Dr. Lopez. And I think what we can start to think about is an investment for next year and potential adding staff members, one of which can be, for example, this is a suggestion, what I've seen in the field, a grants and development manager to support grant writing, fundraising, research, which is very, very time consuming, donor relations, which is extremely key and an area that often falls through the cracks, including stewardship. Just saying thank you sometimes takes time and it's difficult given the enormous amount of work that we're doing with the limited capacity we have. So why am I saying this? Well, we want to stay competitive. It's a very saturated charter landscape. And some of our some of the work that we're doing that we want to continue to do as part of the new portrait of a graduate that we've casted a vision for the next 5 years, if we want to do some of those things, they're going to require an investment. And public dollars don't always allow us as an organization to be as competitive as some of our CMO partners. So we have to raise those funds. And I think if we start looking again, this is very starting early conversation about next year, but thinking about how we can invest and continue to prioritize this work that we're doing, this amazing work that we're doing, because again, we want to be able to, and I'm going to remove the word regain because that's not the word I actually meant to say, it's reestablish. We've always had a competitive edge at Magnolia. And over my last 6.5 years here, I've really learned to understand that edge. Because I write about it all the time in all of our grant narratives. But with that, that really does conclude my update for you all tonight. This is the beginning of many conversations, and I know we still have two other quarterly updates, but I want to invite you to connect with me and the team in advance of that. This is an open conversation and we're a collective team, and there's no way that we could have reached that collective amount that we've raised thus far without everybody you see on the screen today, inclusive of some principals that I see that we've recently received some grants for. I see Ms. Rowell up there and I see others that have been, recipients. So I just want to thank everybody on the team. We've done some amazing work thus far. We're not done. We're gonna strive for that stretch goal, but it is a collective process. And so if I can just remind you all of the two objectives, give or get, 100% giving, and mobilizing your networks. If there's two things that we take away today, that would have been my big ask of the committee tonight. So with that, next last slide is thank you. I appreciate your time. Open to any questions, handing it back over to you, Talia.
Thank you, Ismael. So right now we'll open for public comment for this item. Again, if you have any comment for the specific item, go ahead and unmute yourself. You'll be given 3 minutes for your public comment. And if you need translation, you'll be given 6.
This is Dr. Lopez. I just wanted to add as a public comment that I'm really excited about the work our department has done, specifically as Mr. Soto mentioned, collaboration with all the schools. I want to thank all the principals. I want to thank all the department leads who have really made it a priority this year when it comes to grant writing and collaborating and facilitating the process and responding to all the questions. It's really been a process where we're leveraging everyone's strengths and their narratives from what they're sharing specifically at the school site. So just thank you so much for making this work possible. And as you see, you know, the labor, the work that we put in, we have the rewards as well. So we continue to see this because ultimately it's all about our students. It's about our families. It's about community and bringing all of these funds to them and making sure that we can sustain our success.
Thank you, Dr. Lopez. Are there any other public comments? Okay, if there are no other comments, we'll open it up for committee members. Are there any comments or questions for the specific discussion item?
This is Yapanel. Ismail, thank you so much for the update. This is great work. I appreciate you and the department. In the last meeting, I mentioned how we can mobilize our staff members to apply for small grants that are like classroom-based. I wonder if there has been any updates or development on that front. I think going after the big fish is something definitely we should do, and as the board, we will support in every capacity those efforts. But I also think that there's a lot of potential of bringing in small grants into the classrooms for teachers.
Yeah, this is Ismail. So thank you for that, Dr. Yapanel. Your timing is impeccable. Today, for example, yes, we definitely are looking for the big fish. And you know, but I, you know, we often like to use baseball analogies, right? Which is the, you know, the third base hits or the home runs. And certainly we've been going for those. But some of the first base hits, for example, just today, I was working closely with our chief academic officer, Mr. Irvin Jajar, to share across the board with all of our teachers, the Equitable Innovation Grant Program, which is a teacher-led program, grants upwards of $3,000, for example, for innovative projects in their classrooms. And so, you know, this is the work that we do, again, collaboratively, with not just within our own department, but we share with everybody across the organization. And in this case, specifically with our teachers.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Grant is one portion of it, but I think thinking about applying to these grants, about these projects and like all the mindset of applying to grant also will help teachers to think out of the box as well so that they can provide more for their students. Thank you. Thank you for the update. This is all I had for tonight. Thanks again.
Hi, Sophia.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanel. Are there any other comments or questions for this item?
I just want to make a quick comment. Thank you to Ismail for putting all this information together. I think it's very helpful. And I think we've made a lot of great progress, and I think that there's a lot of good work ahead. So nice job.
Please identify yourself.
This is Steve Boudraja, CFO.
Thank you, Mr. Boudraja. Sorry, Mr. Steve. Are there any other questions or comments from our committee members?
I would just agree with both gentlemen. Thank you for all the hard work, guys.
Okay, if there are no more questions or comments for this item, I'll remind you there's no votes for this item since it's only informational and discussion. So with that, Ms. Covarrubias, would you like to adjourn our meeting?
Yes, it's 5:56 and I would like to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, and thank you all for joining. The meeting has been adjourned.
Thank you, guys. Everyone.
See you shortly.
Thank you. Thank you, Talia.
Thank you all.